Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chris around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio. Good to see everybody once again. It's been a while. It's actually been a few months, I believe, since the last time we've been on the air live and in living color. Definitely doing the two-hour show. We haven't done a two-hour show in forever. 646-652-4479, just to go ahead and get you that first number out there as I get things set up and everything like that there. Again, excited to be on the show. Really briefly, again, the reason that Around the ATL even exists is trying to have another voice out there for fans of Atlanta and Georgia sports that actually likes the teams that they root for, okay? So that goes into it. But then also on our side, myself and my co-host, you know, we do have some bias, but we also are logical about things as well. So that's the other reason we wanted to do this show. Before we get started, I do want to mention a couple of things. Obviously, like I said, it's been a while since we've been on the air, so definitely start hanging with us once again as we come back. Thanks to those who do listen to us and watch us off of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Definitely Facebook. We do have a following on some of the Facebook sports groups out there like New Pack City, Atlanta Hawks Nation, Atlanta Bird Gang, Atlanta Braves Fan Group, and many others. Jordan might mention a couple of others as well. Tonight's show is brought to you by The Originative Brand. Make sure you go to the Instagram page, The Originative Brand. They specialize in custom Atlanta sports attire, shirts, hats. I got a shirt on actually right now, Braves championship shirt representing the A. In Atlanta Braves. I need to get a hat soon too. Actually tonight, one caller will get a free shirt courtesy of Around the ATL. So make sure you visit The Originative Brand. You might pick out something Falcons related or Hawks related, Braves, UGA, whatever it is. You let them know they can make it, and you let me know it's on me. 646-652-4479 is the number. So before we get started, let's go ahead and bring in our co-host for tonight. He is a journalist that's been in Atlanta sports for a while. He's done some articles with different variants, and he can mention some of them. He loves Atlanta sports. He really delves into the elements of why players do well and why they don't as well. So definitely like his commentary. Let's go ahead and bring in Mr. Jordan Jackson. Jordan, what's going on, sir?
What's up, sir? Glad to be back on Around the ATL. So much happening in Atlanta sports since we last talked to you guys. I think the last thing we really hit hard was the NFL draft. You know, so now we got football coming back in. We're starting to see what some of those guys can do on the field. And just so much going on in Atlanta sports. I also want to give a shout-out to Jamal Price of the Originator Brand. Good guy, great designs. Y'all need to go check him out. he's been interacting on Twitter with guys as well as the New Peg City Facebook group, of course, that he has been running for quite some time now. Well, I want to give a shout out to everybody on Hawks Twitter who listens to us, in addition to the Facebook groups that you mentioned. And yeah, man, just as always, man, just a busy time. Even in the time when a lot of our sports are not in season, there's always so much to talk about when it comes to Atlanta sports. So with that being said, sir, let's talk about it.
All right. So first up, since we're in camp mode right now, we actually have a preseason game. What is it, tomorrow night? Let's see if we can talk about some Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah. Welcome to Atlanta, home of them dirty birds. Anybody hating, get kicked to the curb. Any other team is absurd. Wearing black, white, silver. Red is for the blood. No one's scared of getting dirty, cause we came from the mud and we hungrier than ever. He rides, she rides, we ride together. Birds of a flock, more like birds of a feather. No one hit a party until we get the Lombardi when we...
All right, I haven't played that in a long time. I'm trying to figure out stuff there. So, first things first. The Atlanta Falcons. So obviously we've had a lot of changes in the last 365 days, give or take, right? So we have a lot of influx of talent gone, talent in. We have our second year of the new regime with Coach Smith and Pease in the system and things of that nature. So let's talk some Falcons and kind of see where we are. Now, I do have the depth chart, the first depth chart up. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But just for the fans out there, who wants to talk some football? The depth chart. Let's talk about it. Do you have any surprises? Do you have some disappointment so far? But it's the first one, understandably. On defense, who are you looking at? Have you been able to go to training camp so far to see who's doing what? On offense, I do notice the wideouts depth chart, and I'm like, interesting, right? Running backs as well. What do you look for in tomorrow's first preseason game? Are you excited about it? I mean, it's been a while since we have football, so are you really hype, or are you going to be one of the down in the doldrums people who think we're going to win only two games this season? So what are your predictions for the upcoming season? 646-652-4479 as I get ready to open up this chat room. Jordan, what do you think so far? What are your thoughts initially in regards to the Atlanta Falcons?
As far as the depth chart goes, man, I really don't think that you can look a whole lot into certain parts of the depth chart. For example, one of the things I noticed about coaches, particularly old-school style coaches like a Dean Pease, like a Coach Arthur Smith, even though Arthur Smith is not very old, but he's old-school in his mentality, they're going to always start your rookies off low on the first depth chart. That's why, if you look, you can see, I think Drake London is like, the fifth wide receiver on one side of the depth chart.
I think he's like 17, actually. I'm just saying. I mean,
but you know, reports that he's done very well in camp.
Yeah.
He's looked very athletic, just a natural athlete. He's been sure-handed, a guy who can make contested catches in traffic like we thought he could. So I don't think you can look much into that. I think the one spot that you could really look into, well, some of the spots you could look into would be more of the guys where, you know, people have been here may have been passed up or changed. For example, Jalen Mayfield is not listed as a starter. And instead, it's Wilkerson is listed as a starter at left guard. I think that's big. And I think that really shows you, being that Mayfield was the guy who started most of the year last year, and him not being number one on the depth chart shows you that he, in fact, has been passed up in count at this point. And honestly, I think that's a great thing, especially exactly, Chris.
I had to type it in, man. I mean, I didn't.
Marcus Mariota, that good old Island boy.
Oh man, come on! See, where's my sounder? I'm not as quick as I used to be here. Man, you're killing me here. So that is a great point, and that's one thing I did want to mention, and hopefully we have some callers talk about some Falcons tonight, because I do want to kind of go through the depth chart just for the sake of going through it. Like you said, it's early. It's the first one. But, and I actually mentioned this last year. Let me go ahead and switch. I don't want Jalen's name up there no more. That's as much shine as he's getting this year from me. So last year I mentioned it is that there was accountability. And if you notice from the very first game of last year all the way through, there were times where you could see, okay, this guy is not going to be able to be out here. Now, we wish that had been with Jalen, but we really didn't have no alternatives with him last year. Now you do. And now you see it being implemented, right? You just can't keep playing like garbage and think you're going to be out there for a period of time. That's different than what the previous regime would do, would be just to let you just be out there forever and just let people get killed like Matt Ryan and or people not produce like they need to help the team win on a consistent basis. Now, part of that is also the general manager's fault for not building a good team around your, you know, top player, of course. But now you see that's happening, and definitely on defense now because we have depth where we didn't have it last year. Remember, Pease outright said, I'm only running like a part of my defensive scheme because I don't have the pieces to do it like I need to. Now you can see that he pretty much does. And he's already done said, yeah, we're coming after everybody this year, you know, because he feels confident now that he has pieces in place and depth at different positions to run those things. So I'm excited about that part for sure. But let me ask you, you mentioned Drake doing well and is being mentioned in camp. Do you think Drake London as a wide receiver, rookie, being drafted from where he was drafted from, can make a difference this season?
I think so, just because it's been such a position of need for us. You know, unfortunately, our former number one receiver is now a traitor, Bill Dickdarno. He plays for Tampa Bay, went over there with Tom Brady. And so, obviously, Kyle Pitts is going to be your number one target. But outside of Kyle Pitts, I think that there's a real competition for who your top targets are going forward outside of that. And I think he has a real opportunity to make an impact, particularly with his thighs and hands in the red zone. And, you know, that's been one of our issues. In fact, you know, as much as I am a Matt Ryan fan, you know, I have to admit that some of the red zone issues we've had are – partly his fault. He's not the best quarterback in the red zone as he could be. But, you know, we'll see this year because they have a running game, because that's one thing we're also lacking. But yeah, yes, I definitely think he can make a difference. As far as the depth chart goes, now, one of the things that I've been kind of watching and kind of disappointed in is that Caleb McGarry is still holding on the right tackle position. Now, maybe that means he's improved. Hopefully. But I really had a lot of hopes that German Ifedi would challenge him for that spot and overtake him for that spot, because we have to be much more solid up front than we were. Real quick, too, let me give a shout-out to Truth, who's called the show before. He just gave a shout-out on Twitter, said he's tuning in. So shout-out to Truth. His name on Twitter right now is True Sugar Free, but it always makes me laugh because his name is always True, but then whatever comes after True, it just depends on what's going on at the time. So it's like, you know, you had Antonio Brown dancing around talking about put that ish on.
Man, don't do it. Don't do it.
Twitter name was True, put that ish on.
Man, don't get me started.
It's hilarious to me. Like I said, though, as far as with the depth chart, man, you just can't look, you know, too much into the rookies. For example, our guy Arnold Ibiketi, a guy who Jerome Durinovich told us he wanted us to draft, and we actually drafted him that very moment. He's second on the depth chart, but he absolutely has a chance to start. They just are not going to start the rookie off. But as far as the number of games you mentioned, I'm kind of downer-ish on the Falcons. I think we'll be better. I think we could win. We should win, you know, a game or two or three more than we did last season. But I still don't think that we're where we want to be yet. I do think that the two biggest factors are the same two biggest factors that they've been really for quite some time for this group, and it's both lines of scrimmage. It's the offensive line that we've just been talking about, as well as the defensive line, in particular the pass rush. If Lorenzo Carter, that darn good dog, you know what I mean, can come and do some things, that will help. If Arnold Ibiketi can do some things, that will help big time. if D'Angelo Malone, who we drafted on day two of this past draft as well, can come out and get us some pressure, then I think that we, you know, they could prove me wrong that we could exceed our expectations. If we don't get good pressure, if, you know, Dean has to always dial up the blitz for us to get pressure, and then, you know, we have a hard time coming on the back end, which should be better this year. Should be much better this year. We know A.J. Terrell is a stud, one of the top three in the NFL, if not number one. But the addition of Casey Hayward should also help us big time in that regard, because Fabian Moreau, he was just a guy that teams picked on last year. And if they do that to Hayward, they're not going to find nearly...
Congratulations, you played yourself.
I definitely think that we're better. And another thing I've been encouraged by is the fact that Richie Grant is listed as a starter on the depth chart. We've seen him making some plays from some of the film that's come out on camp, including, you know, interceptions, including making some great deflections, even one defending guys like a Kyle Pitts that time. So if he can take a leap from a guy who struggled to find himself for most of the last season to a very productive starter, I think that's also going to go a long way on how good the Falcons secondary can be and the defensive line.
646-652-4479 is the number. I just want to add a few things in regards to the Falcons as far as just my personal thoughts. You kind of touched on it as far as the safety, seeing Richie and Jalen getting the nod so far as possible starters. That goes a long way in regards to, you know, confidence. And then there's pressure on them to perform, obviously, but we got to find out. This is it now, right? On the depth side, we need to see what Marlon Davidson can and can't do finally. Can he help this team, you know, put some pressure on the quarterback? Can he help with that? Can he make tackles, you know, when needed? You know, what will our linebacker core be like this year? You know, we know the deficiencies from a year ago, okay? And then with Michael, you know, being gone, obviously. But now, what are we replacing all of that with, and can they hold up? Because that's definitely going to be key. Besides those front guys, they're the second part of that. So if that front seven can do their job, we'll be all right, I think. And I think with the running game, you know, with Cordero being still number one, and then you have we got like 17 running backs right now still. So we're going to see how that plays out by the end of preseason. But I think if we do actually have the things that we did not have last year, we did not have adequate protection for the quarterback. We did not have a running game at all to speak of to take any pressure off the quarterback at all. And in our wide receiver play, again, if we want to separate tight end and wide receiver, you had Kyle Pitts at tight end, and then you had Cordero every now in the blue moon, right? And then that was pretty much it. But still, guess what? Matt still tried to find a way to make it work. But I think this year we have a few more targets, and it looks like if that happens, guess what? We actually have an offense all of a sudden. A regular offense actually can put regular points on the board, because that was the issue from last year. At a certain point, everybody knew what we were going to do, and we couldn't do anything other than that. It's kind of hard to move the ball at that point. It just is for anybody. So I think that's some things to look at. Now, as far as overall, I still think we can improve. We improved two games last year with no talent basically on the team. I thought that was one of the, you know, a tremendous point right there for the team to be able to do that with the – but remember who we thought we were going to have on the team and what did we end up having on the team at the end of the year. It's a completely different thing. So I think that's going to be a big deal in regards to going into this season. And, of course, Marcus Mariota right now is the number one. Now, that's going to be the kicker. You know, can he perform like he did some years ago when he was a regular starter? Or will he play to where why he wasn't a starter the last two seasons? He's been riding the clipboard, right? So – that's going to be the biggest key right there. Can he manage the game, not make any mistakes, make the plays when they need it with the talent that we have now? See, like if we had the same talent that we had last year, we're winning one game maybe. Okay? But we have better talent around him. And even though this ain't Matt, Marcus is qualified. I'll say that. And he has a lot to prove still, too, because this is probably his last shot, right, as a starter in the league. If he can't pull this off, he will be on the bench the rest of his career. And then you got Ritter in the background, who's number two right now, you know. So that's going to be interesting, I think. So I'm excited for this season. I don't know about everybody else. I just don't buy into the doom and gloom of us going 2-54 this year. I just don't buy into that. I just don't. And I'd rather be on that side than on the other side. That's just me. I'm always the optimist as far as that goes. Any final thoughts before we go into our next segment?
Yeah, I think we're winning more than two games. You kind of took the words right out of my mouth. But all these positions and stuff I'm talking about, make no mistake about it, quarterback play is going to be huge. Can we keep some semblance of decent quarterback play? I'm not expecting Matt Ryan level passing numbers for Mariota, but like you said, can he keep the chains moving? Can he get the yards, first downs with arms and legs? Can he stay healthy is going to be key as well. There are a couple guys who I'm interested to see what they do with on offense is guys like Avery Williams, the running back / wide receiver who's basically our kick returner. But I do think you have the opportunity to get him the ball in space in some situations that he can make some explosive plays. And another guy is Felipe Franks, a former quarterback, converted to tight end. Been hearing some good things about him in camp. And so if he can make plays, that will be big for us as well. And who our short yardage goal lineback will be is interesting to see. I still have hopes in Tyler Allgeier, who we drafted this year. Obviously, he's last on the depth chart. But like I said, you can't really look at that. Rookies, because coaches make them earn their way up. And I've heard that he's been the most consistent back we've had in terms of just moving the chains. More of a power back, not, you know, blazing fast or anything, but we got blazing speed with Cordero and with Avery Williams. So I think it's going to be key if we can have a chain with one of those guys like Damian Williams, like Tyler Allgeier, like Kadri Allison can emerge as a chain mover for us. One of the things you mentioned was the linebacker position, and I do think that's key. Don't really know what's going on with Deion Jones. He's not, you know, able to perform. It still seems like the team is looking to move on from him. I've heard good things to count about Troy Anderson, who we drafted in the second round. Great athlete, so if he can emerge, that will help. I do think Michael Walker is poised to have a breakout season. And he's always been a guy that showed us flashes, playing in, you know, limited snaps, not in a starter's role. And plus Rashad Evans, who came over from Tennessee, who's a veteran as well. I think that would be key. But there's a gentleman out there, Chris, okay, who has demanded a trade. He plays for the Chicago Bears. He's a Macon, Georgia native. His name is Roquan Smith. Okay, now, Chris, we've got some of every Chicago Bears you can think of on this roster. And even Cordarrelle Patterson has advocated for it. I think the Atlanta Falcons should, at the very least, have already made some phone calls to Chicago to see what it would take to get Roquan over here to Atlanta. It's been very interesting, though, because I've heard quite a few people on Twitter saying, well, no, we don't need to go after Roquan. We don't have the money. We already got one linebacker we're trying to get rid of. Okay, first of all, Deion Jones ain't Roquan, okay? Deion Jones was an outside, weak side linebacker who we converted into middle linebacker, and he is a one-time Pro Bowler, and he's a good player, but he is not Roquan. He is not Roquan, particularly, Roquan is just much more powerful, much more forceful against the run. But Jones is very good in coverage, but, I mean, if you watch Jones last year, he wasn't the same player as he previously was.
Yeah, wide receivers blocking them.
Right.
You can't hide that.
When you talk about the money, NFL contracts can be structured. It can be structured to where Roquan only counts $2 million to cap this year. You know what I mean? But a lot of his money will come in bonuses, and then he can count more against the cap next year, the year after, the year after. And the fact of the matter is, we're slated to be one of the teams with the most cap space next offseason. So, depending on how much it costs, what you got to give up, how many picks you got to give up to trade for, you could obviously send Deion Jones to Chicago as part of the package. You know, if the price is pushing it too high. I think it's a no-brainer.
I think it's a roll of the dice that'd be worth it. I don't even know why it wouldn't be something that should be that they're talking about, because it happened. It's not like, you know, it didn't happen. He said he wanted out. So at that point, it's like, why wouldn't you at least acknowledge that and be like, okay, well, shoot, we can actually get a chance to get him here. He can come back home, like, seriously, a really, 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 really good player that makes a difference on defense, and he could be here in our defense. That makes a difference, all right? So we'll see. I mean, I'm hoping that at least we find out that they at least tried, and maybe he said, okay, I don't want to come to Atlanta. I need to hear that, though, out of his mouth, okay? We'll, you know what I'm saying? So just being serious about that. But that is a different, a little spin on the offseason that is still not over technically. So we'll see what happens. It'll be really exciting if we can get him here. 646-652-4479. Let's do this because we're still hoping we get some Falcon fans called into the show. I have been checking, but I do want to be able to take this first hour and talk about a couple of our teams. So the next team we're going to talk about is the World Series champion Atlanta Braves, and we're going to talk about what's going on currently. Obviously, we have some things happen tonight. We're going to catch up on that. But let's go ahead, and since I haven't done it in a while, let's go ahead and do it the proper way. I had to throw that out there. So, can the Braves do it? Can we win the division possibly? Now this year, because of how the format is now, winning the division is not as big as a deal as it used to be. However, just for the principle of it all, I kind of want them to do it again, just because the Mets are doing what they're doing, just because the Mets are not Metting right now. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's the soup that they're drinking now. I don't know. But right now, you got to give it to them because they're winning. They're winning all the games that they need to. And then head-to-head, they trounced us. So, you know, you got to give it to them because now all of a sudden, again, we were a game and a half out. And all of a sudden, now we're 7 games out. So that's not really good, you know, obviously. So some of the things we're going to talk about as far as the Braves, I just said it, we're 7 games back. Hey, guess what? Will Smith is finally gone. Had to happen. If that didn't happen, eventually I was like, y'all got money on this now because y'all are wilding out. But anyway, he's gone. Ozuna, I don't care about that 3-run homer tonight. It ain't enough. Sorry. You can't just do one productive thing every 15, 17 games and be cool about this. He's not helping us win any games right now. If Travis was back at catcher, I think Contreras would be the permanent DH the rest of the season because guess what? In, I think, 60 games, he has 15 home runs right now. Just saying, all right? Vaughn Grissom got called up per our injury situation. Guess what he did? 2-run homer, just gone. Just poof. We just got all these young players we don't even know nothing about, right? They're just coming up and just taking over, right? So we have him up now. Ozzy, we might get him back late August, early September. We'll see. Pitching, do we have enough? Soraka, I don't know at this point. Will we see him this year or not? At a long shot, September maybe, but otherwise, and that's if his rehab starts basically this week or next week, right? So we have to see about that. Kirby Yates is back now, so we'll see if he can help us out a little bit. But if it gets to the playoffs, is Max, Strider, Kyle, and Morton going to be enough? That's what we got to find out. You know, right now, I would say kind of, but it depends on the bullpen a little bit, but we just have to see. I just mentioned Contreras has 15 home runs in 60 games. Michael Harris in his 65 games is hitting .290, 10 home runs, 12 stolen bases, and he has amazing defense. So our young guys are really helping out this year. We still, you know, we have to try to find out how we're going to replace some of the people that we are missing. I think that's going to really bear out how this season is going to end up. So that's just some of the things we're going to talk about as far as the Braves go. 646-652-4479 is the number. Don't forget. And don't forget, the chat room is open. Jordan, go ahead and let us know what you think about the Braves so far, what you think can happen, what you think will happen. Go ahead.
I think that there's, you know, some good and some bad with what's been going on with the Braves so far. And like you said, I was quite disappointed in that series against the Mets where they were able to beat us 4-1 and just pad that division lead so much. Prior to that, I thought it was a foregone conclusion that we were going to pass them at some point. Because that's typically what we do. But when they came out and they won two straight series against us, and if I'm not mistaken, we have 7 games left against them this season. I think they're all in Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
We need to win at least 5 of those 7 games, sir.
I think we need to win all of them, truthfully.
I mean, we could really need to use all of them, but I mean, I do think that they'll lose some ground. They're not going to win every single game they play against other teams, so I think we'll chop into that lead some, you know, with us doing better against other teams than they do against other teams. But when it comes to head-to-head play, we need to, because, I mean, we beat a 5-2, let at least chop 3 games off of their lead right there. You know what I mean? So I think we're going to need at least that to have a chance to come back and win a division. As far as the stuff that I've been disappointed with so far, so you hit on a lot of it already. Marcelo Cunha just has not played very well. If I'm not mistaken, that was his first hit. That home run today was his first hit in 23 at-bats, if I'm not mistaken. Now, obviously, he's here, especially with Duvall out for the season. Like, he's going to play some throughout the rest of the season. So we got to hope he comes out of his slump. And in general, it's just been the bottom of the lineup with the exception of Harris. For me, that's been quite concerning. Now, Rosario has been much better lately since coming back from his eye surgery, hitting over 300 since coming back. But it just tells you how bad he was early in the season because his batting average is still sitting at 175. You know, you also, before he got hurt, Arcia, that was starting at second base, he was hitting under 200, pretty much an automatic out. And, I mean, you never want to see anyone get injured, but I do, you know, think that this could be a blessing in disguise with Vaughn Grissom being called up. I mean, the fact that he had 2 hits, home runs, scored 2 runs, 2 RBIs in his first game is very exciting. Now, Chris, I'll be honest with you, I'm not all the way up on this young man. Is this young man the son of Marquise Grissom? Okay.
We'll check on that, but I'm pretty sure he's not, but I'll check on it.
Okay. I was just curious because, you know, when I started seeing these guys' sons come up, guys who I watched play, I started to feel very old, very old. And then the other issue was one that you get on as well is starting pitching. We had Ian Anderson get sent down to AAA, which I do think that is what needs to be done. He had been scuffling and struggling quite a bit this entire season. He'd have a good start here and there, but then he'd have 2 or 3 bad starts after a good start. And that's something we just couldn't, you know, we couldn't keep going in that direction.
It's holding the team back when you do that.
Charlie Morton has not been himself so far this year either. ERA over 4. Now, we know Charlie is a gamer, and I do expect him to play well in the postseason. But, you know, we need to get there.
Gotta get there.
We will, but, you know, I just like to see him straighten himself out. But on the other hand, there have been some positives. Kyle Wright is pitching very well this year, probably the best year of his career. Max Fried is still Max Fried. I'm very thankful that he didn't hurt himself the other night.
Yeah, but, that was scary there.
Yeah, the ball got away from him at first base, and he tried to throw to the plate. His face bounced off the turf. I'm so thankful that he didn't get seriously injured because we certainly couldn't afford that. And then on the positive note from the hit aspect, Austin Riley has been fantastic, man. Big clutch, three RBI play last night to help win the game. Ronald Acuna Jr. is becoming himself again. He's hitting the ball very well. Incredible slide last night on that hit by Austin Riley to score a run. I think it's actually that was 2 runs that forward on that particular play. But, I mean, LeBron LeCroix just did a great job sliding around him, but that's a back tag. But the ball beat him there and still scored the run. And he was pumped up, man. He jumped up and he pumped his hands and hat went flying off his head, man. It was just great to see. Matt Olson has hit the ball very well recently, power-wise. A lot of the plays that were doubles have started to turn into home runs. Daphne has been very good all season. Contreras, you know, another situation where I feel like it could be a blessing in disguise. You know, I do love Darno, but to give Contreras a little while Darno's healing, to actually hit full-time, I think would be great because, he's been fantastic. I mean, he's one of our best home run hitters when it comes to home runs per at-bat. You know what I mean? So per every so many at-bats. He's been one of the best guys all season. And Michael Harris has been fantastic, man. He's been just what we needed defensively. Guys are trying to run on him, and he's gunning them down at the plate in big moments. And he's also hitting the ball well offensively. And so it's just funny, man, how sometimes baseball works out, you know. For so many years, even on this show, for a couple of years, we talked so much about Drew Waters. We talked so much about what's the other kid? I'm forgetting his name. Now that was traded to Oakland, then the Matt Olson deal that was starting to center field for us, but couldn't hit. Oh gosh, I don't know why I can't call the kid's name now. But with all the hype that those prospects got, it's Harris that ended up coming up and being the baller. You know, so you sometimes never know about this baseball thing, man.
Pache.
Thank you, Chris. Sometimes you just never know about this baseball thing, and the guys that you think are going to be great, like Jason Hayward, end up not being great, and the guys that you don't really have as much of an eye on, like a Michael Harris, comes up and ends up being phenomenal for the team.
646-652-4479. To just continue a little bit as far as I will say this as far as the Braves. Think about this. We don't have a current player right now hitting 300. Raleigh's the closest, but we don't have anybody hitting over 300 right now. And the majority of our guys are hitting 260 and less right now. So that's one thing that, you know, on the consistency of hitting side of things, we definitely want to hope that it evens out by the playoffs because, you know, basically, the guys who are hitting 290 are Dansby and Riley. Harris is right there at 290, right in there. Acuna is hitting at 272, but, you know, he's been gone, but he's been hitting better. Olsen is hitting 248, so he's right at that 250 mark. Ozuna is hitting 213, right? So that's where it really kind of comes into who's going to kind of step it up to be consistent. Is that going to be Ozzie when he comes back? How will he be able to, you know, chip in and things of that nature? Because, again, the consistency of the offense is really where it's going to come down to as well. Because, like you said, pitching-wise, well, I mentioned it as well, Kyle Wright, he's really – this is his best season so far. And you got Max. Morton, I feel, he gives you the innings. It's just that, again, sometimes – I'll just go ahead and say it. He's left out there a little bit longer than he needs to be. There's just those times where it's just like, okay, if this was Charlie Morton 5-7 years ago, yeah, let him stay in there and try to battle his way out of it. But this is not the same guy, and there's just no reason to just continue to let starters have 6 runs tacked up on them when we're trying to win the game. I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I'm going to throw it out there just because I can. So that being said, you know, when the Mets do come back to Atlanta, those are must wins because the thing is, the thing that's always helped the Braves is that the Mets never could consistently beat the teams that they should beat. And then they just fall apart, and then that's the end. This year, they've beaten all the teams that they're supposed to beat, and then they beat us. There's your difference right there. That is the difference. So you can't rely on all of these other scrub teams out there to beat the Mets this year. You just can't. It's not happening. So hopefully we'll take advantage, you know, when we play them again and then just see how the chips fall with where they may, cliche or whatnot, and have a chance to definitely finish out the season the other wild card team. I hate to say that, but if it gets down to it, getting to the playoffs is most important and then beat everybody at that point because then it's the series. And then at that point is the pressure, okay, all right, Mets, you did it for the regular season, good, but can you do it in the playoffs now? because you haven't proved you can do that in however many years now, right? So that's going to be the ticker, and there's going to be the pressure of the Braves to repeat. You don't have a lot of teams that repeat in the World Series anymore, a whole heck of a lot, right? So that's going to be, you know, the other part of that. So I'm excited to see how this is. We have these young kids helping us out. Go ahead.
A couple of things I think are going to be key. Well, one other guy I want to give props to that I can't leave out is our other Rookie of the Year candidate, Spencer Strider. He's been fantastic, man. This guy, he throws so hard. Is that I kind of miss him in the bullpen in a way, because when he's coming out of the bullpen, he was throwing like 102. Obviously, you can't do that all game long in Florida, but he's been consistently throwing hard, 97, 98, 99, you know what I mean, striking guys out. So I want to give him props. One of the guys who I think is going to be key is one of our trade deadline acquisitions, Jake Odorizzi, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Came over from Houston, all-star in 2019 with Minnesota. That year he was 15-7 with a 3.51 ERA. And he can kind of step in and fill that void that Ian Anderson, was doing a good job. That spot that Anderson was struggling in, I think that could be big for the Atlanta Braves. The other guy who I think could be key for us is Robbie Grossman. There's another guy who came over in the trade deadline. Now, you look at him and you look at his batting average, and you're like, whoa, how's he going to do anything? But the fact is he murders left-handed pitching. And so while I don't expect him to be a starter by any means, I think, in those big at-bats late in the season and in the postseason, when you got a left-handed relief pitcher in there and you need someone to come in and get a big hit off a left-hander, I do think he's the guy who could possibly be that guy. And if he is that guy, it'll certainly help, the team in clutch situations.
646-652-4479, as we talk Braves baseball, just a reminder on Around the ATL, we talk all Atlanta sports on the professional and the college side. So if you're a Braves fan, definitely should be calling in. We've been talking Braves baseball since we began the show, four years ago now. So definitely tune in. Now, we hope to have some Braves guests in the future as we get regular again. We haven't been on the air in a while, but that's one thing we definitely want to be able to start integrating some of the baseball people in Atlanta onto the show, whether it be new or old players. So, be looking out for that. But definitely, if you're a baseball fan, the season isn't what you thought it would be right now, but it's still the season. The Braves are defending world champs until they're not. So, continue to plug for your team. We have some characters on our team. That's why I put up, I'm your Huckleberry. Spencer Strider got that mustache. Everybody knows about it, right? He's battling out there, right? So, we have a great team again, and it's exciting to watch them. If you've never been to a Braves game, you should do it. You need to go to Truist Park. It's an experience. It's one of the better baseball stadiums in baseball, for sure. Take it from me. I used to work there. No bias, right? But definitely this is a season where we're going to find out what our Braves can do. So, be excited about that. 646-652-4479 is the number to call in. We haven't had any callers yet. I'm actually kind of surprised about that tonight.
I'm just tweeting out about the show now.
Appreciate it. What I'm going to do is I want to take a break because I want to go back to some Falcons a little bit because the next hour, actually, you know what? I take that back. We're going to talk some Falcons before the end of the hour, but I do want to add another team that we want to talk about before the end of this hour. You'll find out when we come back. But in the meantime, we're going to take a little bit of a break. And we're going to talk some more sports on Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio.
You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta Sports Talk.
And we are back, 646-652-4479, Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio. Be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel on IMTN Worldwide Radio. Also follow on Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio. And, of course, make sure you are following on Twitter. I'll post that real quick. IMTN Radio, Intellect ATL, and Jordan23 ATL on Twitter as well. Make sure you tell your friends about Around the ATL. We talk about Atlanta and Georgia sports every week. And let's go ahead and bring Mr. Jordan back in. What's going on, sir?
What's good, sir? Always, good to talk it up about these old Atlanta sports, man. You know, rather the good, the bad, the ugly. Lately it's been a lot more good than bad, thankfully. Like I said, man, it's always just a privilege, Chris, to be on Around the ATL and to talk about these Atlanta sports that we love so much.
So guess what? We haven't played this in a long time because we hadn't done a two-hour show like this in a long time. So let's go ahead and get started on our next segment. Mercedes-Benz, you got to go. You're talking about sellouts. You're talking about the atmosphere. You're talking about the exuberation of a goal being scored. It's very mirror image to what you see in the European League. So you got to go. Remember, Atlanta United does have an MLS Cup. It's been a little bit now, but, you know, hopefully we can get back to that, which is why I wanted to bring up the topic for a few minutes here at least. We do want to mention that the president, Mr. Darren is leaving. So after 8 years, 8 seasons being in Atlanta, he's moving on. So we're going to have new direction for the first time in forever, basically. So we're going to see how that might, you know, bear things out. But right now, Atlanta United is in 12th, okay? And they've just been hovering. And it's just so – it's odd because it's like, you know, the team actually does have talent this season – and they just never really have been able to put it together. Now, even though they're in 12th, they're actually only 2 points out of 8. As crazy as that is. So things can turn around pretty quickly, and the season actually does not end until, I think, early October. So it being August right now, there's still some wiggle room. You know, there's still an opportunity, but they can't get too much further back now. They're on that precipice now where each match really are, at least for the next couple, are must wins, and they have to score goals. They really have to earn points at this point. They can't just be pitter-pattering around and hoping for a 0-0 top. That's not going to work anymore because they are so far back in the standings. So I don't know. This has been a strange season because we've had, you know, some really cool matches, but for the most part we've been lackluster for the most part. Is there anything I don't know how much you've been able to keep up with Atlanta United, Jordan, but is there anything that you can contribute to? We're in 12th doggone place right now. What do you think?
To be honest with you, sir, I'm trying to figure it out myself. I know we have lost, you know, quite a few of our key guys from the original leadership team. Another thing that I'm learning about Atlanta United is the thing is when you have these guys that do very well, the big time European clubs come after these guys, and it's just hard to keep them because that's where the biggest soccer is played now. MLS, you know, has improved the talent pool over the years, you know, exponentially. But yeah, it's still, it's like the EuroLeague versus the NBA. But in this situation, we're EuroLeague. We're the EuroLeague. You know what I mean?
And we can't pay like they can either.
No, exactly. You know, it's a similar type situation. And so it's just too difficult to keep a lot of your biggest, brightest young stars on your roster. And so I think that's probably more of the, you know, the decline than anything else. Now, you know, also, you know, I think we have the right manager in place now, much better than Frank DeBoer, but he's still not having the impact that Tata Martino is. I think Tata is a special type manager as well. I do think that's interesting. I think it's interesting that Dan Hills is leaving. You know, obviously he's great here, helped build a championship after for Arthur Blank, but I also think sometimes the face comes in with new ideas that they could end up being for the best. So it's been disappointing, man, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't kept up with it as much as I have in previous years, just because, you know, to be honest with you, winning makes you pay attention. You know what I mean? And so when you got two or three or four teams that you're looking at, and plus you're looking at, you know, our NBA players playing in summer stuff, programs, you're looking at games and everything else, you know, well, a lot of things that can be for your attention, winning draws makes a difference than what you actually focus on. And so because we haven't won as much, I haven't had a chance to actually sit down and catch as many matches as I have in some of the previous seasons, just to be honest, completely honest.
646-652-4479 is the number, which is why we always urge for the Atlanta United fans that are out there to call into the show. You know, you don't have a lot of local stations that, well, of course, you have the flagship that does. They who shall be named. Do I got to do it like that now? So we can fight. But anyway, they talk about soccer when, you know, oh, gosh, what's his name? I forgot his name just that quick. Conte comes on because he's doing the actual game. So they have to do it for that. But you can still tell they're not too enthusiastic talking about pitch and matches and goals and, oh, you know, time. This. They're not really wanting to do it. We will, though.
Yeah, he'll hit on because he's a ticket holder as well. But I tell you one thing that just surprised me just looking at the stats. I can't tell you the last time that I've looked, you know, at Atlanta United Stadium, and, you know, Joseph Martinez has not been our leading goal scorer. But, he's the second leading goal scorer with just 5 goals. So I do think maybe he's not fully back from his injury as well, and that could be making a big difference. Cisneros leads us with 7 goals, and our leading assist guy so far this season is Alma with 6 assists. So, as you mentioned, I think scoring has been an issue, and we need to get back a little bit more back to that just fast, high pace, put the pressure on the other club. If you just if you don't score, you give up a goal on the back end, so be it. But we just seem to always say like we're at offense, and we put the pressure on the other clubs.
Lastly, I just want to say that it's actually a miracle that we've been able to keep Joseph up till now, technically, right? So that's one thing, and we hope that he can finish his career here. Like you said, he does seem to not be all the way back, and this is probably his low number of goals he's ever had before. It looks like we lost Jordan for a second here. But we hope that they can come back. Again, they're only 2 points out of 8, so a lot of stuff can happen within a couple of matches, right? But right now they are in 12th, so they don't have a lot of wiggle room. It's August, but October is right around the corner. That's the end of the MLS season. So hopefully we will get to see the best of Atlanta United as the season winds down and see if we have a chance to, you know, see them back into the playoffs and have another shot at the MLS Cup. Again, we have some great fans here in Atlanta. If you've ever watched a match in Atlanta in Mercedes-Benz, it's tremendous. You got to watch it. So as we close out the first hour, we're going to go ahead and take another break. But next hour, definitely if you're an Atlanta Hawks fan, you should tune in and hopefully call in. Of course, UGA is back in camp. They're defending national champions. Let me say that again. They're defending national champions. Anybody? Yeah. Anybody? It's not Alabama. It's not Clemson. Who, what? Okay. But anyway, we'll talk some we'll talk some UGA. It's not South Carolina. But anyway, we're going to talk some UGA. We're going to talk some Atlanta Dream as well. They unfortunately lost last night. That was a big loss. They still have an outside shot to still make the playoffs, but they basically have to win out. So we're going to talk some Dream basketball as well. Don't go anywhere. This is Around the ATL. IMTN Worldwide Radio. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta Sports Talk.
Good evening, everybody. This is Chris on Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio. We are back. It's been a long sports season. As I mentioned, this is our first two-hour show in a good little bit. So I'm excited that we're back on the air again and, you know, able to talk some Atlanta sports. We're going to get ready to start our next segment, but let's go ahead and bring Jordan back into the show. What's going on, Jordan? How you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. Happy to be here as always. Glad to talk about these Atlanta sports, and certainly excited to talk about these reigning, defending world champion Georgia Bulldogs.
Well, we're going to talk about the Bulldogs soon, but first off, I want to start off with someone who should be defending. They should be defending two-time NBA champion Atlanta Hawks, but they're not. But there's a whole bunch of reasons why they're not. We'll get into that later. But since we haven't done a two-hour show in a while, I want to go ahead and see if this works still, because I haven't played it. So let's see if this intro still is going on. Let's see if it works. So here's the Hawks. So first of all, let me go ahead and post this up, because we're going to start some controversy tonight, doggone it. Let's see if I can find it. I know I put it up here. Let's see. Here we go. You can't handle the truth. I mean, you can't handle trash talk. You don't want to support Atlanta players all of a sudden. So let's go ahead and lead off with this one right here. Trash talk is part of the game, folks. Just because you don't like it or you can't handle it doesn't mean you should stop supporting the players that do it that are on your team. For years, you always complain about players not showing enough emotion, not enough grit, hypeness on the court. But then when they do, they get persecuted for it. So you can't have it both ways, folks. Now, again, some I just think have never played a competitive sport in their life. And just the other night, I did a whole video about just playing basketball in general. If you're on the court, you either got to deal with it or you just got to go home, right? But for the fact that we got multiple players who want to get in your face, wants to talk stuff, and y'all just can't deal with it, some of you, doesn't make any sense to me. But really, it does sound like what y'all said about Trae Young a couple of years ago. Oh, he needs to be humble. We ain't really winning like that. Blah, 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 blah. No one said that to Michael Jordan when he was getting eliminated in the first round, but no one was going to just say, oh, well, Jordan shouldn't be talking smack out here. Jordan is scoring 64 points on you, sir. What are you talking about? So let's talk about that just a little bit. 646-652-4479. Meanwhile, in other Hawks news, Trey John and Murray had a great game the other night playing together a few weeks ago, just giving teams a glimpse of what you have to deal with in the near future. If they are not hamstrung with the particular offense, strategy-wise, let's just say that. Still worry about that, obviously. You see Big O out there hitting jumpers. Now, that doesn't mean nothing. We've seen Dwight Howard do it and other people in the past, but looking at the shot, it looks like something that he can hit on a regular basis right now. That's really cool. But, of course, now if you never read my article about, you know, Big O in regards to why I feel he needs to be playing 20 minutes a night at least every night, you need to go read that article at imtnworldwide.com under sports. But not only now can he hit 80% from 0 to 5 feet in, he can hit a 10-foot jumper for sure now. So if he's on the floor, that's going to be a big deal. The Hawks signed Trent Forrest, who played for the Jazz last year. He's on a two-way contract, the one that Sharif used to have. Unfortunately, Sharif is gone, obviously. He gave the Jazz 9 points a game last year, so that might give us a little bit extra in the point guard position, but we can talk about that as well. Last but not least, and I'm going to let Jordan chime in, the bench to me, I feel because of the increase on the defensive mentality side, is going to be better. Yes, you lose Gallo's 11 points a night, but, you know, he was a sieve on defense. So that really kind of always equaled out. You still have Bogey coming off the bench, giving you at least 15 a night. I believe the Holidays can hit an open jumper. You know that, again, Big O is on the floor with you. It's going to matter of will JJ play at all? Will AJ Tyrese ever see the floor? We'll see. I just think that if our offensive system is better, because our defense is going to be better, we're going to win more games just because of that. And last but not least, John needs to be getting 14 touches a night. When John got 13 to 14 touches a night on the Atlanta Hawks, he gave you a 19 points a game season and a 20 points a game season in back-to-back seasons. Last year, he barely got the ball 11 times a night. Barely, and I mean barely. Oh, one last thing I was going to say. Murray is dominant at the shooting guard position for us. Okay, we actually have a shooting guard who can do everything on both sides of the ball. We haven't had that in a long time, obviously. So that right there is also going to add some games to the win-loss total as well. Plus, he can play defense all 48 minutes, and he wants to do it, and then make you look bad. So those are just some things we can talk about tonight as far as Hawks talk. I've hit up a few extra people. Hopefully, we'll get some callers in. 646-652-4479. But, Jordan, do you want to talk about this trash-talking incident, occurrence, happening, supposed issue with Murray out there doing what he's doing right now, even if it's during the summertime? But do you think there's credence in the complaints of Hawks fans doing this? Like, tell me what you think.
You covered so much there, sir, but I absolutely am going to start where you started at. For those Hawks fans in particular, basketball fans in general, but especially Hawks fans who are out there, you know, crying about what Bird's doing, saying he's being too disrespectful, saying that this type of behavior was going to cost us games. You know, I hate to say what you are, but in the words of Eddie Murphy, I say it and I spell it. Capital S-O-F-T, soft to
Congratulations. Okay. You played yourself.
As P.O. Bottle Cotton, who are talking like that, all right? Obviously, you got to be younger to be talking like that. Because you couldn't have even watched basketball in the 80s or 90s. It would have been too violent for you. Those guys are hitting each other too hard. Look, we had Kyle Lowry dive into Trae Young's legs during the playoff season last year, okay? Tried to take him out. No one really did anything, okay? We had another situation where Jimmy Butler grabbed him around the neck in the playoff series in that same game. And also in that same game, Kyle Lowry chopped him across the head when he was going to the basket. Nobody really did anything. Now, in the defense of Clint and John, both of those guys were really banged up and really injured, so they may not have been physically able to get into a scuffle. But you cannot have guys treating a strong player like that. Now, I really hate that it has to be our second-best player. Our feistiest player. But DeJounte Murray is exactly what these teams have needed. We need a guy who's not afraid to get up in guys' faces. We need a guy who's not going to back down.
And we'll let other players feed off of that, too.
Absolutely. And someone who's not going to shy away or back down from the physicality. Because I promise you, after seeing that Miami series, other teams have it in their scouting report. Like, okay, one thing you try to do to get the Hawks out of their game is you try to be extra physical. Try to, you know, to punish them physically. And to have a guy who's not going to back down from that is huge. And then, you know, you look at it, and people act like this is something new with DeJounte Murray. This ain't new. If you go back and look at the highlights, he's gotten in the face of James Harden before. He's got into it with John Collins before when he was on the Spurs. He's got into it with Derrick Jones Jr. before. He's got to Harden a couple times, actually. You know what I mean? So, absolutely. He's got that dog in him. We need that dog. And just to rewind back, because I know we haven't been on it in a while, one of the things I was most thrilled about this offseason is that we were able to get DeJounte Murray and still keep John Collins. You know what I mean? And to see those guys play together in the pro-am, I mean, how spectacular was that play where Trey goes through the guy's legs, gets the ball back, throws the alley.
All in real time.
To Murray, and Murray throws it off the glass to JC, who catches it and slams it in, man. I mean, it doesn't get much more exciting than that. And for you know, some kids who can't afford to ever go to an NBA game, to be there live, to witness that type of behavior, it's just fantastic to see. And they actually won their game, unlike the Knicks trio, Toppin, Randall, and Brunson, who lost theirs by 13 the other night.
That was pretty bad.
That's neither here nor there, but the fact that we were able to give up just Gallo, a 2023 protected first-round pick from Charlotte, which we got in the Cam Reddish trade from New York, 2025 first-round pick, unprotected, 2026, San Antonio has the right to swap picks with us, but I doubt that's going to ever happen because we're going to be a better team than them. And we also gave up a 2027 unprotected first-round pick. So two unprotected picks, one pick swap, and Gallo, who's now Boston Celtics, for DeJounte Murray, a 25-year-old all-star. That's just an incredible gift for us, sir. Now, be careful, Chris, about calling him a shooting guard, because I think he got kind of upset the other day when he was called a shooting guard. He says he's just a guard. He's a point guard. He can play any guard. You know what I mean? So, hey, we won't put some respect on his name. You know what I mean? Here, because we love to have him on around the next year. We're going to tell the truth at all times, but we want to put some respect on his name. Just got a report on DeJounte Murray, big guard. The primary position has been point guard. 6'5", long arms. In fact, there's a video out there if you guys just search for it. Search LeBron James, Chris Paul, DeJounte Murray, and you'll see it's like they're having a conversation about how tough it is to go against DeJounte Murray, how long his arms are, how hard it is to score on him. And I just think a lot of people who are shortchanging the Hawks' moves and what they've done, they don't understand how much this guy really, he checks so many boxes for what we need. One of the things when you look at him in the scouting report, defensive rebounding, outstanding defensive rebounding, ability to recover defensive rebounds and box out to aid other teammates' rebounding efforts. And so, you know, that's going to make us an even better team because he's a guy that once he gets a rebound, he doesn't have to wait on anybody. He can take it and go up the court and find guys. Playmaker, able to generate high volumes of high-value scoring opportunities for his teammates. So we went from having only one primary playmaker, which is something we complained about on this show. Now, for many years, and we complained about as Hawks fans, even going back to the era where Jeff Teague was the point guard, especially after Josh left, but we didn't really have a secondary playmaker as good as a shooter as Kyle Korver was and as good a defender as Jabari Carroll was. Neither one of those guys were playmakers. But now we have two high-level playmakers, two 9 assists per game guys, Trey pretty much tells us, and I think that's just going to make a huge difference. Another area of strength for DeJounte Murray, finishing among contact at the rim, not afraid to take it right to you. Speaking of spectacular plays, I don't know if it, but I know a lot of people had to have seen the play that caused the big beef between him and Banchero. But I mean, the way he faked the pass, he faked another pass, he had the guy turned around, trying to figure out what was going on, took it, threw it up on the glass, and threw it down. I mean, man, I'm so looking forward to seeing that type of dynamic.
Oh, he can't do that in an NBA game. It's too much. We don't want to see that. We just want to see everybody stand behind the three-point line. I'm just saying.
Outstanding player in transition. Great pull-up mid-range jumper. Now, the one weakness about him is his pull-up three-point shot was not very good these last couple of years. In fact, if you look at it, he actually shot 35% from three on catch-and-shoot opportunities, and he shot 38% from three when he was wide open. But it's the contested, you know, off-the-dribble threes where he shot a low percentage. So if he can kind of limit those, and when he does, the pull-ups go to his mid-range, I think you ought to see him shoot a lot better three-point percentage than you saw him shoot that overall last year. So those who worry about his shooting, don't worry. This guy, he's not Russell Westbrook. He's not a guy who struggles to shoot the ball at all. It's just the fact that when you look at his shot quality last year, he was the guy who was most game planned against, most defended. And so his openness rating, open shot rating was like a F. You know what I mean? Like, he almost never got over Deshaun in San Antonio. That's about to change playing with Trey Young.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. Like I said, great floater in the lane, goes right at Giants and will shoot the ball over him or take the contact and put it in. But one of his greatest attributes, Chris, is he is a pickpocket artist, sir. He will steal the ball from you. He will go down court and score the ball, and he will let you know about it. In fact, I have some advanced stats here. He is top five in the NBA in pickpocket rating, number five. Number two in NBA dynamic pickpocketing grade behind only Chris Paul, and number five in static pickpocketing grade behind only Chris Paul, Fred VanVleet, Gary Trent Jr., and Matisse Thybulle. So you're talking about we needed more defense on the perimeter. Okay, you talk about we needed a guy who could defend the quicker guys because Trey is better against the stronger guys who aren't as quick, guys like a Luka or like a Taylor. Okay, we got that in DeJounte Murray. Needed a second-day playmaker. We got that in DeJounte Murray. Needed to be able to generate more turnovers on the ball. We got that in DeJounte Murray. So he just checks so many boxes for us, sir. I think people are going to be surprised once this team gels on how good that Hawks truly can be.
646-652-4479. Now, I apologize for the caller that was waiting on hold. I didn't get to you. I didn't want to interrupt Jordan there, that 678 number. Hopefully you call back. I do want to note one thing just because of the principle of it all, talking about, again, intensity and just what you got to do to be not punked every game. Della Hobbit never learned from Al Horford all these years ago. You remember what he said. He's going to learn. He's going to learn. He took out one of our players that we really needed, and that Della Dover kid never learned his lesson. And that's all I wanted to see, that one time. That was the opportunity to say, okay, I'm going to take charge, and we're not going to just keep getting pumped. And what happened? Nothing. And at a certain point, when teams know that you can't deliver, they're going to take advantage of that. And again, if you've never played competitive sports at all, right, if you've never done it, I can maybe understand where you're coming from just a teensy bit. But you've watched sports, though. So you know what I'm saying? You've been to a high school basketball game before, right? You have. Don't say that you haven't. You've been to a college game, and you know you've been to pro games. And you know that trash talking is part of the game. But then when you have things like people choking your players and hitting them with elbows, like Jordan just demonstrated, if you're on the radio, you can't see that. He just put the bowl up there. You know, if somebody's drop kicking you, if somebody's tearing your jersey, and there's nothing there. One of the reasons that the Hawks were two games away from the Eastern Conference Finals a year and a half ago was they had that mentality a lot. Some of it was solo, but Trey already had it. John already had it. John's dunking on people all the time.
Even Kevin Hunter delivered a quick bomb on Noel after what he did to Trey. So you're right. That was big last
It matters when you know you can go head-to-head, toe-to-toe, and you're not afraid. Again, it is a matter of are you showing that you're afraid of them or not? That plays a part in sports. KG, the trash-talking Hewitt used to do. Larry Bird, of course, one of the best talkers of all time. Dominique has said many a times the stuff that Bird would say would just be like, man, this is like demonism here kind of stuff, right? I mean, what in the world? Like, you really just say that, you know? And you have a choice. Will it get under your skin and affect your game? Or are you able to block it out and say, okay, I'll show you something, your mama, you know, or whatever you got to do to go back at them. And again, if I couldn't, all the basketball games I've ever played, I'm in my mid-40s now. If I couldn't handle the trash talk, whether it be light trash talk, man, Chris ain't about to shoot nothing tonight. He ain't about to do nothing. And I just look, oh, all right, okay, here we go, right? I either have a chance to do that or, oh, man, my feelings are hurt. Let me go ahead and take my shoes off and just walk off the court and go home. That's the choice. In the NBA, if you even hint at doing that, you know what I'm saying? Teams take advantage, and everybody else takes advantage of it subsequently. And so now you have multiple players on this team who are willing to show you up, to willing to do double alley-oops in your face, to do nutmegs, to do all these different things on a regular basis, but y'all, some of y'all are like, oh, no, you can't. That's why I did that like that, because that's what y'all are saying online. Y'all are saying this in print, black and white, when this young man is coming into our team, wants to be here to dominate, to help us win a championship, but y'all don't want that. It's mind-boggling because that's what y'all did 4 years ago when Trae Young came in the door. It doesn't make any sense. You don't want to give credence to these young guys wanting to ball out, and it just doesn't make any sense. So I'm saying that so that in case Trae Young and Murray and John wants to come on the show all at the same time, they have a reason to do so now. 646-652-4479. We're gonna get Trae on the show eventually. It's gonna happen. I'm speaking into existence. But the Atlanta Hawks, what do they have to do, you know, this year to get back to the ECF? You know where they finished last year. If it wasn't for the format, they would have been eliminated from the playoffs altogether, right? So you got to take that for what it is. And again, we lacked intensity. If we had just played with a teensy little bit more intensity, we wouldn't have lost 39 games. We wouldn't have fell where we fell. Things might have been different. We wouldn't have played Miami that first round. You know, we might have given John a little bit extra time to maybe get healed up just a little bit more to be able to help us out a little bit, you know. But that's not how it happened. So what has to happen this year is going to be interesting. I would like to, you know, hear from some Hawks fans. 642. Actually, let me do this real quick. Jordan, we're going to bring in a caller. Good evening, caller. Go ahead and tell us where you're calling from and your name, please.
Hey, what's going on? Atlanta, Georgia. It's your boy, True.
Hey, what's up, man? Nice to hear from you.
What's going on, y'all? No. What's up, Jordan?
What's happening, True? What's going on with
you, dog? Not much, man. You already know how it's going. Hey, man. Shout out to them Hawks. Shout out to ATL. Hear it, you feel me? Braves, Hawks, Falcons, we up this year. Everything. You know what I'm saying? Go Dogs, too.
Yes, sir. Well, True, what are your thoughts on this whole DeJounte Murray, controversy? And what are your thoughts on these guys who are saying that, you know, he's going to cost us games, that he's deranged, that he's unhinged? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Ah, man. Them folks just don't know basketball. That's it. They just going off of what the media is saying, or they just never play hoops for real. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I said.
At the end of the day, like, in any sport, when you're out on that field, when you're out on that hard work court, you know what I'm saying? Like, it don't matter. Like, you just let loose. And rather if you let loose, then just let your emotions play for you as well in sync. Or if you reserve, some folks is reserved, some folks is emotional. But as long as you're handling business and doing what you're supposed to do to get that W at the end of the day, all that's for the birds to me. You know, I done played with many types of teammates, from rowdy guys to quiet and reserved. So that don't mean nothing to me.
You got, you know, we can go to Tim Duncan, who's the extreme on the, you're not hearing nothing from Tim Duncan, but he's going to hit that 10-foot backboard shot every single freaking time, right? And he's going to dunk on you, and he's going to block your shot 3-4 times a night as well, to the extreme side of things where you got, like, you know, Meta World Peace, or, you know, you got, you know, who I like to call Dark Liquor, Lance Stevenson. You got Patrick Beverley out there. Patrick Beverley don't care if you drop 30 points on him. If he gets a couple of stops, he's talking. You see what I'm saying? It's up to you to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? But he's going to be out there as confident as possible to try to help his team win. And give him credit. He's done that to an extent over his career. He's somebody you want on your team because he wants to do it. He wants to be in it, in the thick of it. You know what I'm saying? He's going to defend everything that happens on that court. When you don't have that, it just matters. Again, like you said, True, if you just ain't played basketball or any sport, you just can't relate to that, you know. But if you have, you know exactly where these guys are coming from. And these are young guys doing it, too. You got to appreciate that. And they're repping the A. That's the thing that really makes me angry about it. It's like, how can you hate these guys doing what you say you want them to do? Like, you can't have it both ways. You just can't.
Without a doubt. I mean, like, I honestly haven't seen too much ridicule from Atlanta fans, but I don't really necessarily follow like a huge mass of Atlanta Hawks fans or Atlanta fans outside the OGs, for real, like all the newcomers and whatnot. I ain't trying to say like I'm too good to follow them or nothing, but like I'm just tight-knit with the community that I came up with. But so that's a little strange to me. But I mean, like, I know the people around me, we really excited, you know what I'm saying, for DeJounte Murray to come through. Just to be another spearhead and just somebody else that got that dog in them besides Trae Young. Like, I love Trae, everybody in the city do, but it's kind of hard to have your smallest player on the team being the toughest player too. And DeJounte, he just got that other edge just like Trae to bring that different element to the table. But other folks, they might actually hear that bark too, besides just the performance, but the mouthpiece part too, that's what's going to help with the Hawks, because we really needed somebody like that. Like, the besides Trae, who was the closest guy, maybe Solomon Hill, and sometimes John Collins for sure going to step up, but at the end of the day, I just feel like DeJounte Murray got a little bit more notoriety to his name and respect among his peers.
Exactly. Any other thoughts, True, in regards to this upcoming season, any particular player that you're, you know, looking forward to, or is there, you know, on the defensive or offensive side, something you're looking at on the coaching side of things? Any other thoughts?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, with Coach Nate McMillan, I'm not too much of a big hater of him. Like, I just want to see progress, just like I would like to see with our players as well. But, like, we got more players that fits his system a little bit better. Like, with Johnson Holiday, Aaron Holiday, the Holiday brothers, fitting his system. They played for him before, so that's pretty good. I feel like we drafted more towards his liking as well, especially with our second-round pick and Tyrese Martin. I think he's going to be pretty good, and hopefully he shows out. And he constantly speaking on his versatility and whatnot, and I'm already at, like, the summer league level, so hopefully it'll translate not just in the G League, but when he gets called up as well, because you always can have some depth on the wing. A.J. Griffin, like, hopefully he the first rookie that's really going to, let's say, break that curse, that Nate McMillan curse, to where he can get some hefty minutes. I'd love to see that, and hopefully just, like, I'm just praying for good health for these boys coming up in this next season, because I think we can surprise
them. That's going to be big, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just health.
To me, for DeAndre Hunter, man, because, you know, with all the guys we're talking about, I still feel like he's the X factor. If we could get the DeAndre Hunter we got early in the 2021 season, before he got hurt, when he was averaging about 16, 17 points a game before going down, I think that this team can really go far, because we pretty much know what we're going to get from Trae. We know Trae is one of the best offensive players in the NBA. You know, when you look at the advanced stats like offensive raptor, the only person who had a better offensive raptor than Trae was Nikola Jokic, who won two straight MVPs. You pretty much know what you're going to get from JC, Clint. That X factor is DeAndre Hunter, in my opinion.
I totally agree. If we can get, and everybody always says, if we can get that DeAndre that we had right before he got hurt, like, that easily makes us a contender, easily. So we've been seeing him adding some handle to his game, so hopefully that translates as well. But I got a lot of confidence in Dre. It's just about the health with him. Like, he has a nice jumper. He's tying up that handle. He's so versatile on defense and whatnot. So, like, I'm not worried about Dre. He just got to, like
the
I
one
said,
thing,
just got to stay
true,
healthy.
The one thing I will throw out there is he hasn't up till now been consistent on his drive in regards to playing every night full tilt, you know, because last year – there's just games where he was almost non-existent out there. It was like it didn't really matter to an extent. You saw it, you know, and he was healthy enough to be playing. So I don't know.
Yeah, but also it's a mentality thing too when you go down.
8 rebounds a game down to 3.3 rebounds a game. I think he was avoiding certain contact situations to try to keep him getting hurt. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
What about the defensive side, though? He wasn't going to play defense either? Because he was terrible on defense, too.
Yeah, he could have tied it up.
He played well on defense against certain guys, but where he struggled against was the more quicker guys. Because if you look at his games against, like, Luka, for example, last season, and Jason Tatum, he fared well against them. But when he played against some of the quicker scorers, he didn't fare as well. Some of that, I think, was him worried about, is he going to twist his knee, you know what I mean, and whatnot. But I think he just has to learn to go all out, you know what I mean? And because when you try to keep him getting hurt, that's often one of the times when you get hurt. Obviously, he didn't perform up to what we needed last year. I mean, you look at the advanced stats, like value over replacement, he was absolutely terrible. But, you know, like True said, and one of the things True mentioned was, I have seen the videos also of him trying to tighten up his handle. If that translates to games, that's going to be a big thing for him. Because he'll actually be able to attack more when guys are trapping Jontay Murray. And one more thing I want to add before I pass it back to you guys. You guys mentioned coaching. The biggest thing I want to see from Nathan Billy is him staggering these lineups. We don't need to see no more hockey substitutions where it's five bench guys in the game. You got two elite playmakers in the game. Trey or DeJounte need to be in the game at all times as long as it's a ball game. Now, if we're up by 30 or something like that, then that's another story. But as long as the minutes are meaningful, one of those guys need to be in the game. No reason to be playing with five bench units anymore. And if Nate...
No timeouts, 30 points down all of a sudden.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But if he can make that rotational adjustment, I think that the talent itself will do a lot as far as, you know, how far we can go, how good we can be. But the key to that is how quickly can we gel. Because one thing we don't need to do is dig ourselves a big hole in like we have in Aston.
Exactly. 646-652-4479. True, before we let you go, any final thoughts? What do you think the Hawks will do win total-wise?
Win total-wise, I think this year I could see us getting, like, I'll probably go with 46 wins. I think that's a little fair, 45, 46 wins. I could see us getting more. My only reason why I'm going to say that is just because I think we're going to have a little adjustment period with DeJounte figuring out his teammates' tendencies and all that and incorporating A.J. Griffin into the lineup and Jalen Johnson. So the beginning part, you know, the Hawks kind of start off a little rough.
I'm concerned about Mo Harkless playing over J.J. That's one concern I have. Because he just seems to always tend to lean towards the bench. He needs to let this guy have a chance to shine, True.
Yeah, without a doubt. He make it, it's even going to be harder for Jalen just because of the fact that he got hurt, too.
Wait a minute, say that again,
yeah,
True?
No, I was saying Jalen Johnson had that surgery this offseason, so that's going to be a little bit hampering for him to get right back into that rotation or compete for some playing time just because he's going to be coming in the training camp a little slow, I would expect, coming off of surgery.
Yeah. Good point. So what seed do you think we're looking at? You know, like by the time the playoffs roll around, what seed do you particularly have?
You said seeding?
Yeah.
I'll probably play it safe with like five or six. I don't think we're going to be a play-in team this year, so we ain't going to be in the play-in. But I can see us getting like five or six.
Well, True, we appreciate you calling in, man. Definitely, we appreciate you supporting the show over the last couple of years well. So keep tuning in, man. Let people know about the show. And make sure that you get in touch with Jordan a little bit later. We might have a little something special for you, okay?
Okay, no problem.
All right, man. You take care.
Appreciate y'all for letting me on the show. All right.
No problem, man. Anytime. That was our man True representing ATL. So what I'm going to let Jordan do is let him find out that he's going to win a free shirt from the Originator brand on me. So let him know that. I appreciate him tuning in for sure. Now, what I want to do is transition. I'm going to do a quick pivot because I'm just needing what time it is all of a sudden. And I want to make sure that we do get all of our sports in for tonight. So let's see. I want to do – no, okay. Let's do this. So, you know, Jordan actually mentioned it at the top of the hour. So we want to go ahead and talk about the other team that actually does have a ring on their finger. The national champion UGA Bulldogs, of course. So let's go ahead and get the ticker up. There it goes. Can they repeat? Let me take this off. And since we haven't played it in such a long time, let's see if I can find it, see if it still works. I think it does. Let's see. And now, of course, I can't find it all of a sudden. Let's see. You know what? I forgot what I called it, Jordan. Let's see.
We need to get that. We need to get that sounder of. I don't know. I always pick the guys up. It's either Bruce Buffer or Michael Buffer. The reigning, defending.
Actually, we can't do that because he has that trademark. So if we do that, we gotta pay him. I'm not doing that.
Trademark is one that does it. I think it might be. Boxing guy has his trademark, but the UFC guy doesn't.
Oh, okay. We got to make sure about that, man, because I just saw a little clip. I was like, yeah, I'm not trying to go to court. But here it goes. I found what I wanted to play, so let's go ahead and get the Bulldogs segment started. Don't you know the Alabama Crimson Tide just hates that right now? Anyway, 646-652-4479, UGA are the defending national champions, and a lot of people are looking at them right now in regards to their ability to possibly repeat. Now, believe it or not, repeating in college football is not really that easy. Do you know that it's only happened a very few times? The last time it's happened was, I think, 2003, 2004, USC did it. And that was the last time it's happened in a long time. So does the Georgia Bulldogs have enough with, you know, having the highest draft class ever, basically? Do they have enough coming back to be able to do so? So, you know, some of the players, you know, you got Stenson Bennett coming back, looking to be the quarterback to win back-to-back national championships. You know, you have Jalen Carter coming back. You know, you have running backs like Kendall Milton there. You have Brock Bowers, the best tight end in college football. You got some receivers, you know, going to be in the look at trying to move up a little bit now that they're the guys. You know, you got Ladd, you got A.D. Mitchell. Of course, you got Kaylee Ringo, you know, at cornerback. You got Nolan Smith at linebacker. So you got a lot of key guys coming back that's going to help. But it's really going to be these young guys who are going to have to grow up real quick and get put into positions to succeed. Now, you know, Kirby knows how to do that better than everybody. So it's just going to be a matter of how that season starts off. So, Jordan, what do you think in regards to their chances of getting back to the national championship game? Of course, I think it's a no-brainer that they'll be in the playoff, but can they get to the national championship game, and do they have a real shot to repeat with all the different losses on talent that they did have? Because we have to acknowledge it. They lost a lot of players.
Well, I think, first of all, the key is your wide receivers got to be healthy, because what I'm told by Alabama fans that if you got hurt wide receivers, then you have no shot and it doesn't count. Okay? First of all. But, no, on the serious note, I do think we have enough talent to compete. I don't think it's automatic we're in the playoffs, just because it just depends on who's committed to next and who's undefeated for other conferences. But what I think it is that it's we are going to win the East. We are going to be in the SEC title game. And if you win the SEC title game, then you're certainly guaranteed to be in the playoffs. I do think we got a lot of talent. Everything I'm hearing in camp has been nothing but positive reports about the mailman since then. I've heard that he's actually come back looking a little bit more muscular. I've heard that he's...
You got a new haircut, too, I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, I think our guys with the dog cast Shout out to my guy Jamie Goodman. I think his partner on the Downcast called him what did he call him? The Tavius?
Oh yeah, he went from never mind, I'm not even gonna get into that. He's gonna get banned on the radio here.
But everything I've heard, this kid has been so great leadership. He's been a commander of the offense, played very well. And now he does have that confidence of knowing that he can't get it done. So I think that's big. I do think that, you know, to see what the wide receivers do is going to be pretty key. We do have Donovan Mitchell coming back, who made the big catch, one of the big catches in the championship game. You know, we are missing George Pickens, who I just want to give a quick shout out to, because I've been seeing him absolutely torch guys in practice as a Pittsburgh Steeler. We do have Lad McConkey coming back, very good slot receiver. Kyaris Jackson coming back, who had some injury issues. Dominique Blaylock as well, who a lot of people forgot about Dom. He pretty much missed all of last season, but he was
he's a senior now, right?
He's actually a junior, redshirt junior, because he's redshirt.
Oh, that's right.
Injured years. Rosemary Jackson. So we've got a lot of talent at that position, but I think that how they play is going to be an X factor for the Dolphins. I'm not worried about the offensive line at all. We've got great talent and great depth there. Honestly, to me, in my opinion, the best unit on this club is tight end. Brock Bowers, as you mentioned, best tight end in college football. Expecting him to be even better. Art Gilbert, highly talented recruit, finally getting a chance to show what he can do. Darnell Washington, the big 6'8 tight end who's about the same size as LeBron James, just a devastating blocker. Like having an extra offensive lineman out there in the run game, but can also catch the football in traffic in the red zone. A guy that could be a great, just throw it up, let him box out the guy, you know, and if they want a double, let's just let people guard Bowers and Gilbert. So I love to see the Dogs run a lot of, you know, three and even, maybe you can even come out to four tight ends if you're the Dog. Because Bowers and Gilbert have the versatility, and I heard that East Houston, some of that count. When those guys are split out of the slot, split out wide, like wide receivers. So really excited about that group. The other thing I'm most excited about with the Dogs, and I'm telling you, Chris, this guy's about to have a monster season. This guy's about to be a top five pick in the NFL draft, and that is defensive lineman Jalen Carter. Even the fact that I mentioned this in the past, but when guys were NFL scouts were going to watch tape with Jordan Davis, they were going to watch tape of a lot of the great players, you know, that we had, the Kobe Dean, in this particular draft. They're like, wait a minute, who is number 88? Who is this kid? Like, he often popped off the tape for scouts, and they're like, oh, that's Jalen Carter. You know what I mean? And he was a highly recruited guy. He's now a junior. Expecting just a huge season out of him. Also expecting a big year out of Nolan Smith, who you also mentioned, off the edge. And another guy who I'm expecting a big year from, is the guy who put the national championship game away with the pick six, Kalee Ringel. I'm expecting him to take the next step as a redshirt sophomore. He's another guy, Chris, who I think could be a top 10 pick if he decides to come out for the draft. After this season, the big corner, some people think that he may be better off as a safety, but no, I like him at corner. He's got the speed to do it, and he's one of the guys, you know, there's so many more bigger monsters, 6'5", wide receivers and stuff, and he's just got a guy who can actually match up with those type of guys. So, I'm just excited, man. Now, one other thing I'm looking at is the battle at the nose tackle position. Obviously, Jordan Davis is going to be a guy that's just so hard to replace because you just rarely find that combination of strength and agility at that size. Right now, Zion Loeb, the redshirt junior, and the Sears Stackhouse are the top two guys at that position. But I'm also looking at big Sean Washington, the freshman, who is a bigger nose tackle, closer, you know, in that type of mold of a Jordan Davis. He's not as big as Jordan Davis by any means, but still a big guy, 6'5", over 300 pounds. looking to see if maybe he can step up into that position. And the other thing I'm looking at is the linebacker positions, the inside linebacker positions in particular. Samuel Moulton Jr. right now and Jamon Dumas Johnson are on top in those positions. And, you know, Nakobe Dean was the Buckets Award one. So you are replacing a great player in that spot as well. But all in all, the good thing about Georgia, the Georgia players, is we always use so many guys on defense. And so usually the guys who are coming in as new starters, you know, this year, they all have played quite a few snaps the previous years because we don't just keep the same 11 out there. We rotate so many guys. And so I do think Kirby Smart doing that helps prepare the next group of starters going forward. And I do think the Dawgs are going to be all right. Like I said, and I'll say it again, we will win the SEC, sir.
646-652-4479 as we almost are done with the show tonight. We're about to wrap up. So UGA definitely is that team. I mean, we're talking about just like Brock as far as on the tight end. I mean, if it wasn't for Kyle Pitts, he might be the best tight end in NFL too, you know, out there, you know, on the college football field. So, again, they're going to be dangerous once again. You know, they have the play sets. They have the running game. They have all those things. Like you said, the offensive line is going to be straight.
Yes.
On the deep.
Milton also is another guy I meant to mention. He's looked quite good at camp. He looks like he's put on a lot more muscle. So I'm expecting a big year out of him as well. And we also do have Kenny McIntosh and Jamon Evans back. And looking to see if maybe one of these freshmen, Branson Robinson or Andrew Paul, will emerge as well. So just so much talent for the Georgia Bulldogs, man. And, you know, before I hand it back to you, I just want to say up on our previous coaches, as good as we were, we would always have this season where we just, for some reason, lost like 5 or 6 games out of nowhere. I don't think you got to worry about that anymore, sir.
Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't even think about that, actually. So that's a good point. I'm glad you threw that in there. So as we get ready to wrap up the show, I wanted to make sure that we got in touch all of the sports that we wanted to tonight. So our last but not least, by any stretch of the imagination, are our ladies. So I have to get a new theme song for the Atlanta Dream. We're gonna work on that in the next couple of weeks. But we haven't been doing regular shows, so that's on me a little bit. But I do want to bring it up. So the Atlanta Dream this year, they did lose to, I believe it was the Aces last night. It was disappointing. I think they lost by 7 points. Basically, the difference of the game was the Dream didn't give up but 15 points in the third quarter, but then in the fourth quarter, they gave up 35. That was the ball game right there. I think the Aces had 4 people in scoring 20 points. So at this point, they're technically still 7th. So they're still eligible. There's still 2 playoff spots left. So they're right now, I think, still in the 7th spot, unless I'm mistaken. But they only have, I think, 3 games left. So they have to win out, basically. And they got the Liberty coming up back-to-back. So they got to basically win both of those games to even have a really good shot. But this season, there's enough talent on this team to make the playoffs. And just for whatever reason, they just haven't really had just that great stretch of games where you're winning multiple games in a row. You win one game and then lose 2 or 3, and then you win another, maybe win another, and then lose a couple others. And in the WNBA season, obviously, there ain't that much room for, you know, messing around like that. And that's where you get to where you're now here at this part of the season. The season is almost over, and you're still on the outside looking in. So I really want to see this team get in the playoffs, though, after what they've gone through over the last couple of seasons. So much turmoil in management, ownership obviously changed, you know, for the better, obviously. But it was just a lot going on, a lot of influx in players and stuff. But now it looks like they have some stability. Of course, they have the rookie, Ron Howard, who's just balling out there. Every night she's having one of the best seasons we've seen from a rookie in a long time. I kind of allude to, you know, Ms. Angel McCautry, who's been on the show before. You know, and, you know, Ryan might be the new person now, you know, to take this team to greater things. But what do you think, Jordan, as we have about we've got about 5 minutes left to talk some Dream basketball. Do you think they have enough to make the playoffs or not?
I think so. One thing I think that's been a factor here recently, though, is because Tiffany Haynes, she had come back and she had been playing very well. She's a player who can be quite streaky at times, but in the 11 games she's played, she has averaged 16.2 points per game, which actually would lead the team if she qualified enough games. The power is at 16.1, but she's shooting 54.5% from the field and 42.9, almost 43% from three-point range. But then she's missed the last two, three games. You know what I mean? So I think if we can get her back and she can continue to shoot the basketball like she has in the 11 games that she played, I do think the Dream will make the playoffs a decade now. But it is very interesting that they have back-to-back games with the Liberty because, you know, I've been quite critical of Sabrina Ionescu over the years. They just need to put so much hype on. But I'm going to tell you, sir, she has lived up to it this season.
She's killing it out there. Yeah.
So that's going to be a big challenge for the Dream. But like you said, Ryan Howard, absolute baller, 16.1 points per game, shooting 34% from three, averaging almost three assists, almost five rebounds a game. That's your rookie of the year, sir. And I think ultimately this team will go as far as her and hopefully Hayes if she can get back.
Yeah. Hayes is big because, like, last night, for instance, they only played seven people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's tough. You know, everybody scored, and everybody except for one player actually scored double digits, but that's still just playing seven players. That's tough in any format. So I'm hoping they do because, like I said, I think they deserve a shot, you know, to kind of make some hay a little bit as it – because they literally have been in a two-year rebuild, right? And this kind of is precipitated by Angel having to, you know, come off the court. You know, that's where they kind of started, you know, the transition. But then all the stuff that happened, you know, last couple of years has been kind of brutal. But I'm just glad that the Atlanta Dream are back up on it. They're getting great support as far as their games go. So that's always good to see, as opposed to some teams out there who are getting no support whatsoever. So I just hope that it continues because I think they could really, really, really do some great stuff in the future. So,
and one last note on the Dream. I've been quite pleased with the intensity I've seen out of Ari McDonald, the previous season's number one pick. I want to say she had about 16 or 17 points, five rebounds, five assists in that last game. Most of the time she comes off the bench, plays very good defense, will get up in your face, pick your pocket. I also think she's a key to this team going forward and in the future as well. But certainly rooting for the Atlanta Dream. I want to give a shout-out to an Atlanta Dream reporter who's been on the show before, Jamila J. NBA, who always keeps us – does a great job of keeping us updated on what the Atlanta Dream have going on.
That being said, let's give it up for Mr. Tanitra Batiste, who actually broadcast some of the games for the Dream as well. She's also been on the show, so shout out to Tanitra. So guess what? If you're Atlanta Dream fans, you should be watching our show because you missed all those great interviews we've had with those lovely women who back up the WNBA and know their sports very much so. So you got to tune in, folks. So that being said, I just want to say again, thanks for all that have been supporting and watching us over the years. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, IMTN Worldwide Radio. All of the different broadcasts are posted there. Of course, you can listen to past episodes on Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, all the different formats. And also make sure you follow on IMTN Worldwide Radio on Facebook and Instagram. And make sure you follow on Twitter, IMTM Radio, Intellect ATL, and, of course, Jordan23ATL. That being said, we're going to wrap it up for the night. Jordan, go ahead and let people know how they can find out how to reach you on social media as well.
Twitter is the best place to find me. That's Jordan23ATL, as you said. Also, in the Bleacher Report forums and now and then of all our Atlanta team, just seeing what's going on and communicating with the people there. Just want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Shout out to Drew, who listened to that, called in and gave us a shout out on Twitter. And man, like I always like to do, I want to thank all those people who right now will be listening to us, technically not right now, on the podcast form, you know, after we've already gone off. But don't want to forget about you guys.
Please share. Please share. Working on getting regular again, guys. This is our first two-hour all-sports show in a long time. We had the draft show, of course, a couple of months ago for the Falcons and some shows earlier in the year, but we're trying to get back on it. We have a lot of stuff going on, but we're coming back, y'all. So make sure you keep up with us. Make sure you keep, like I said, supporting us, and we definitely appreciate it. That being said, this is Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio. Y'all take care. Peace.
The best of 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 the best of